Good evening, everyone. This call is officially recorded and will be available for playback tomorrow, Wednesday, June 11th at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That would be 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. This call will be available for playback on podcast at calls.goldenmastermind.com. If you are just ringing into this call for the first time, I'd like to welcome you to our call. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I host this call each and every Tuesday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you're on this call for the first time, I've been hosting this call for 18 plus years. All of my calls are recorded and available for playback at calls.goldenmastermind.com. My main website is www.goldenmastermind.com. You're in the right place at the right time, and you obviously have the ability to recognize it. I just got back from Weehawken, New Jersey last Saturday. I want to thank all of the exceptional business owners, entrepreneurs, self-starters, and people from all across the East Coast for attending that exceptional event, and most of all, Alexis Romano for hosting the event. On Saturday, June 21st, I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for the first time in 2014. Now, that is an absolutely fabulous hotel property. That is the Hilton right on the strip at the beach, right next to the Ritz-Carlton, the Westin Hotel, and many other famous hotels right along that beach strip. That event is from 9 until 4, Saturday, June 21st. On June 28th, the last Saturday of June 2014, I will be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for the first time ever. On July 19th, I will be doing a company event in San Francisco, California. July 26th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. August 2nd, I will be Seattle, and I just added on July 12th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's a little bit in reverse order. Just want to let you know, I just added Philadelphia to the roster Saturday, July 12th. That will be a fabulous standing room only event. So with that, I'm going to move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. As I said, I've been hosting this call for 18 plus years. I've covered many, many topics, interviewed many exceptional entrepreneurs, writers, success coaches, people from many walks of life who share their ideals, their philosophies, their transformation stories, their insights. And one of my favorite topics that I have covered infrequently in my 18-year career is the power of beliefs. I was impacted in 1991 by a book called Awaken the Giant by the great Tony Robbins. Chapter 4, The Power of Belief, The Power to Create or The Power to Destroy. I have never read better content on that subject that Robbins wrote back in the late 80s, and I read in 1991. And I have adopted his philosophy on the power of belief. I had the privilege of sharing the stage just recently with the great John Assaraf on May 9th in the Meadowlands, New Jersey at my inaugural Millionaire Blueprint event. And John also covered the power of beliefs. Your beliefs are a direct reflection of events, and it's not only the events that shape your belief, but your perception of the beliefs. Now, if you have limiting beliefs, obviously it will limit your ability to succeed. And if you have unconscious beliefs that keep you doing the same thing over and over, there's a high probability that you will procrastinate and be and stay disappointed. It's our thoughts that rule your actions, and your actions create either a feeling of positivity or a feeling of negativity. And if you're in inaction to avoid perceived pain, there's a high probability that you will feel disappointed, guilt, and shame. And many people's belief are that limit them are they're not good enough, they're not capable enough, they're not smart enough, they'll be judged, they'll be criticized, and that kind of limiting belief keeps a large percent of the population in a state of procrastination. Procrastination, broken down, means to avoid. It's events and your perception of the events that shape your beliefs, creating your sense of certainty or uncertainty. I've asked this question many times. If you were absolutely, unequivocally certain that you would succeed, what would you do? Well, I'd give it my best effort. I would do whatever I had to do. Well, if you were guaranteed that, well, you are guaranteed that. Because your best effort compounded one day at a time over a period of time will create action. Doing the same thing over and over, worrying about the outcome, judging yourself, turning on the critical advisor will keep you in inaction. Inaction keeps you safe, keeps you from failing, keeps you disappointed. And that's what many people do with a limiting belief. A lot of people's beliefs about money keep them from ever being able to attract the people that they can collaborate to create wealth with. That's why so many people have more liabilities than they have assets, because their dialogue with money is not conducive to attracting either money itself or the people that they can create it with. Your dialogue with money will be a direct reflection of your beliefs. And if you believe that money is difficult, money is scarce, money is hard to find, money doesn't grow on trees, if you believe that that's a home to die for, you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, and you use a series of disempowering statements that separate you from the opportunity to create wealth, attract money, attract the people you can collaborate with, attract prosperity, then you will continue to live in lack, indecision, and a poverty consciousness. That is a direct reflection of the way you've been conditioned to behave about money. By the time you were 18 years old, a lot of your beliefs about money have been established through the 20,000 meals you spend with people in your circle of influence. And if you desire to change, if you seek a different outcome, then you're going to have to change your philosophy. And if what you keep doing what you're doing and it keeps getting you what you're getting, then obviously it's time to take a good look and have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect. There are four phases of belief. A large percent of society lives in the impossible state. They believe that it is impossible for them to succeed, or it's impossible for them to reach their goals. This is about 27% of society. A large percent of society stays broken, tiptoes quietly through life, and arrives at their grave safely. Then there's another 53% of society that stays in the probable state. And these people that are probable, these are the type, or I'm sorry, people that live in the possible state. It is possible, and people that live in possible live in the space between fear and faith, i.e. doubt. They have one foot in, one foot out. They go forward, go backward. They also tend to tiptoe quietly through life and arrive at their grave a little safer. And both of these types of beliefs lead to this, the pain of regret. A lot of people would like to, they hope, they wish, and the language style isn't conducive to the action required to be successful. It's not only being successful, it's learning how to stay successful. And the most important belief that you will develop is the belief about yourself. The third phase of belief is probable. And when you're in probable, you're in the 80-20 factor. Your belief has risen. You have a better understanding of cause and effect. You have a better understanding of success. But you're not really there. You're not really grounded in success. You understand success, you'd like to be successful, and it's a lot higher probability that you will succeed. You're in the law of alignment, you're in the right place at the right time. You've even recognized it, but you haven't developed the mindset. So once you develop the mindset, the skills and habits start to fall into the law of alignment. The mindset required to have a belief based on a sense of certainty where you are very grounded in who you are. The most important belief that you develop is that I am enough. I am lovable. That's the most important fundamental foundation, that I am enough. I am good enough. I'm lovable. I'm capable. I can be it. I can do it. And that belief doesn't limit you. That kind of belief attracts a whole different type of person and situation to your reality. That vibration is much higher than anxiety and or doubt. When you're in love, joy, bliss, and enlightenment, you're going to attract a whole different situation to your reality. But when you're in anxiety of anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, and rejection, you're also going to attract an equal type of reality to your reality. You'll attract people and situations that fulfill a biochemical craving that you've become addicted to, disappointment. And even though you don't want to be disappointed, you continue to say in your belief, I don't know why this happens to me. This always happens to me. I'm not where I should be. This is a very common statement. I'm not where I should be. And if you also say, I don't know, that's a big part of your belief. that keeps you in a state of uncertainty. Uncertainty keeps you in disbelief or in a impossible state. But when you are absolutely certain, when you live in decision and commitment, your beliefs change. It means you're grounded. It means that you have a foundation. You have a fundamental foundation based on your belief system. And your belief system comes when it comes from, I will be not be denied, then you are unequivocally certain. When you learn to live in the solution and not the problem, when you focus on results and not chaos and drama, when you learn to avoid conflict and you live in production, and when you become a silent producer, then you don't have to get on a call and blow your bugle or blow your horn. You don't have to tell people how much money you've made to really show people how low your self-esteem is. If you have low self-esteem, then there's a high probability that you're going to attract people and situations to fulfill your belief systems, because your belief systems are going to be based on events. One of the most common commonalities that a large percent of the population grows up in is dysfunction. A lot of homes are dysfunctional. A lot of families are dysfunctional. A lot of the educational systems and jobs are dysfunctional. And if you grow up in dysfunction and you grow up in any kind of addictions and you grow up with anyone who has passive-aggressive or aggressive tendencies, it can be a byproduct of your neurological network that creates a belief that says, I'm not good enough. If you got conditioned to be a caretaker, a giver, and a server, then you will tend to do more for others and not get rewarded for your own actions. You will put more energy into other people's successes. You'll put more energy into building other people's businesses, and then you won't feel the reward that you are so desperately seeking. And there's nothing wrong with being a great server, but you also have to learn to do this. At certain times in your journey and in your career, you also have to learn to serve yourself without feeling guilty or selfish. Guilt and shame absolutely rob you of your belief. If you've been through events that you feel guilt and shame of, then it's going to be very challenging for you to have any type of self-esteem. Your self-esteem is a direction of how I feel about self. And as you begin to build your self-esteem muscle, as you start to become good enough, as you start to let go of your anxiety about the outcome, more people put energy into not failing than they do succeeding, meaning they put more energy into finding ways to avoid failure than putting energy into finding ways to succeed. That's a large percent of society. They will go to great lengths to avoid pain. That's what procrastination is. They will find ways to dodge the bullet, not be rejected. They'll find ways not to be judged. They say things like, I'm not comfortable putting myself out there. I'm a very shy person. I don't want people to know my business. If that becomes a big part of your belief, then how can you ever become vulnerable? Now, there's two different types of vulnerability when it comes to belief. If you've been violated or have someone take advantage of you because you felt vulnerable or you were vulnerable with them, then it's going to affect your ability to trust, and that will have a big impact on your belief. It means you can't trust people. Based on events from past, that you've probably done too much, given too much, and I've poured my heart into. I gave everything I had to this relationship, and my significant other cheated on me. Well, when I start coaching people, I hear these kinds of beliefs, I start asking a series of questions, and I typically find that the person that has that kind of belief sets themselves up to fail. It means they're addicted to disappointment. They go to great lengths to set themselves up consciously and unconsciously to be able to justify their disappointment, because on a very unconscious, subatomic level, they don't really believe they deserve it. And if you come from that kind of disempowerment and you're uncertain and you're not in a sense of certainty where your belief is solid, then you'll continue to attract people and situations to fill those feelings. When you begin to let go of limiting beliefs, and a lot of your money consciousness, your money talk, is about limited belief, and your dialogue with money, as I stated earlier, is going to be a direct reflection of your conditioning that is your behavior. And if you're one of these people that constantly says, I worry about money, I toss and turn because of how much debt I'm in, I constantly ask this question, does money worry about you? Money is an inanimate object. Money is not even tangible in today's world. Most of money is invisible. It shows up on debit cards. It shows up on your computer screens. It shows up in your check ledgers, but seldom does it ever show up in gold, silver coins, or paper money anymore, because there's a very small amount of tangible money. Money is really numismatic law, the laws that govern money. The more you understand that law, the higher the probability that you'll align yourself with people and situations to fulfill your feelings of belief that you deserve to receive it. But if you feel uncomfortable based on past events, are uncertain if you should receive money, don't feel comfortable asking for money, don't feel comfortable because you're not sure if you deserve it, then once again, you'll create an anti-money veneer based on your belief systems. If you're someone who doesn't believe that sales is a noble profession, and you constantly try and seduce yourself into believing that you're not selling and that you're going to go out and share situations with people, you're going to have problems being able to embrace the whole prospect and understanding that sales is the highest paid profession in the world. If you have rejection issues based on past events, that becomes your belief. I don't like rejection. A large percent of the selling audience that doesn't really understand the skills that sales require, the ability to ask questions in a sequence, the ability to qualify people for your time, has a belief that they're being rejected. And if your belief about rejection is personal, then your left brain is going to resolve that problem by avoiding the perceived pain, and then you will procrastinate to avoid failing. When you begin to let go of that limiting belief, you can change your whole philosophy, you can change your whole identity, and you can change your perception about the prospect of the laws that engage selling. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Being a skilled sales professional will also lead you to the opportunity to create wealth. If it's the highest profession in the world, highest paid profession in the world, and you're in a business that can create leverage through the efforts of other people, then it's highly important that you learn how to do this. Recruit, ask questions in a sequence, be able to prospect. And if you have challenges about prospecting based on being abandoned and rejected, once again, that limiting belief will lead to procrastination. How do you change your belief? One day at a time, one decision at a time, by being able to understand the cause that creates the effect. It's not just the event, it's our perception of the events that create our belief. So if you grew up in an area or a region or a town or a circle of influence that said that money is evil, money is the root of all evil, or if you heard situations or statement like that and it becomes part of your conscious or your conscious belief, then it's going to inhibit and or hinder you to be able to create wealth. But as you begin to learn to let go, and that was someone else's belief, you start to change your beliefs, you start to change your philosophy, and most importantly, understanding that your word is law, and the more you understand the importance and the power of your word, the more effort you will put in to speaking in a sequence of words that are empowering rather than disempowering. The average American, Canadian, and Australian populace has very little understanding of the words they use that are disabling, are disempowering, that create a disbelief and create a whole series of statements that are noncommittal and non-decisive. This is why so many people use the word need. Need is a future tense term that has no commitment. But when you begin to say, I am certain, I will decide, I will commit, your vibrational energy begin to change. It requires more inflection to even say, I decide, I commit, rather than I need to. Most people that say need say it with a very low vibration. The tone in their voice is not very loud, and they're not projecting any energy or any tonality in their voice. But when you begin to step up in your own body, when you let go of being in an outer body experience based on a past event, when you become present, when you become available, when you live in the now, you project a whole different level of energy, and people will begin to buy that belief. As you begin to believe in yourself, believe in your cause, believe in your company, believe in your industry, believe in what you're doing, and most importantly, believe in who you are, your vibrational, emotional, etheric energy begins to change. And people begin to buy your belief based on what they feel consciously and unconsciously, because your emotional vibrational energy begins to transmute differently. And as you begin to do that, a whole different type of person begins to show up in your inbox. But if you're someone who does a lot of talking and a lot of explaining, you end up telegraphing your uncomfortability. And if you can't answer a question when someone asks you and you go on and on and on and on, because you have to be the issue, you have to be the center of attention, you have to explain, validate, justify yourself, the people who really understand that end up walking away from you, and you don't understand why you don't attract the type of person that you require to create leverage. The more you understand that the less you say, the more you will create, the more you understand how to ask questions in a sequence, the more you understand how to create a relaxed interview, the more you understand how predictable people you are, the more you can see the more you can hear what's meant, not just what's said. When you start to come from that type of empowering belief, then you can also teach it to other teammates, other students, and other mentorees in your circle of influence. You have to be able to develop the leader within you. That's where belief begins. You must become the leader that people are looking for. And leadership is nothing more than influence. And the more that you can learn how to persuade and influence, the better you will become at leaders. Leading isn't managing. That is what you learn in jobs. And job skills are great, but job skills typically do not reward you in free enterprise. So your belief about yourself will determine what you attract. So the laws of attraction are going to be a direct reflection of your beliefs. So if you're in a disempowering belief, I can't trust men, I can't trust women, then you've set yourself up to either completely shut yourself off from a relationship. Now, if that's what you say to yourself and you say, well, in my relationships, I can't trust men and women, well, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So that same situation is going to show up in your enterprise. Trust is going to be something you have to not only understand, but you have to be able to trust yourself. And if you can't trust yourself because of past mistakes, that will continue to be and stay a limiting belief. Now, last Tuesday night, I covered your story. And this call actually bleeds into that call because your story is a direct reflection of the events that have shaped your beliefs. And for you to really change your beliefs, you have to take a good look at your story and understand what your story has created. And if your story has created an identity that doesn't serve you, then it's definitely time to take a better look at cause and effect, why you do what you do, and then one day at a time you begin to transform your words and your feelings. As you begin to let go of the words that keep you disempowered, as you start to check your disbelief, your non-commitment words, as you let go of the terms that keep you unendeared, as you let go of your terms that keep you non-committed, non-decisive, and you start to speak more from present tense, now, and future, in a future that's empowering, I will succeed, I am succeeding, I am changing, as you begin to speak in that kind of energy, you will begin to attract different situations and different people to your reality. The more you learn how to write sales copy, the more you learn how to write posts, the more you learn how to use social media, the more you learn how to advertise, the more you learn how to attract, the better the situation that you will create. That will also begin to change your belief. And a lot of your beliefs are based on events that no longer serve you. That's what keeps you in disbelief or a disempowering belief. And if you've been through a lot of ups and downs in your life, and your sense of certainty is not solid, at any given moment you can change with the power of decision, with the power of commitment. Your beliefs about yourself determine who you attract. I said that earlier in the call. If you believe you're lovable, if you believe you're capable, but if you had a lot of bad experience, if you had been through a lot of divorces and bad relationships, and you become codependent and a caretaker, well, that's a belief you will definitely have to let go of. And as you begin to let go of that, as you have a better understanding of cause and effect, it's the events that shape the feelings, but most importantly, it's perception of the events. And I recently coached someone who informed me that one of their relatives had seduced them into believing that this relative had done everything for them in their life. My client had come along late in life, and one of the relatives became the caretaker. So my client felt obligated to this relative. Well, the relative kept taking advantage of them. And her belief was, well, I owe them something. They've done so much for me. I owe them something. But after years of abuse and neglect, my client began to realize that that belief had to shift and that belief had to change, because the relative was coming from entitlement and was using control to manipulate my client. I was able to point this out. It completely changed her whole belief about the way she was raised and grew up. The more you can be objective, the more you can be clear, the more you can come from rigorous honesty. A lot of my clients will say things to me like, I don't want you to think this about so-and-so. I don't want you to see, that's control. To be able to change your beliefs, you have to be able to let go of control. But if you control, end up out of control, controlling your control, then you continue to control the control that keeps you out of control. When you begin to let go and be present, become available, and don't feel that you have to control not failing, when you let go of that belief, that's what a lot of people do when it comes to success. Their right brain says, I want to be successful, a small piece of it. The right side of their mouth says, I'd really like to be successful. I'm going to give it a shot. I hope it works out. I'm going to go to this event. I'm going to hire a coach. I'm going to do this. But it's the action. It's the action with the belief. If you bring action to the game with a disbelief, trying it out, hoping it works out, you'll probably get rejected or abandoned, then you've already created the situation to fulfill your feelings. I recently had someone say to me, I'd hire you, but I'm not sure if I'd get anything out of it. I said, well, that's a great belief. Well, that means that they've already set themselves up. They've already created a sense of certainty to fulfill their disappointment. Now, when you begin to live in belief, you're able to pick up very easily and very quickly the people that live in disbelief and live in disempowering beliefs. When you became a great listener and a great asker, you can hear people answer the questions you ask them, and you can tell their limiting beliefs. You can tell it. You can tell very quickly, once you become skilled at it, where to devote your most important energy, time. And you learn where to devote your time where it's deserved, not needed. Now, a lot of people have a limiting belief about other people, and they will say, they really need my product. They need my product and services. They need to lose weight. They need to make more money. He or she would probably be really good at this. I'm going to pour every ounce of energy I have into their success. That becomes controlling. That becomes the attachment. When you become attached in your belief, when you believe that you have to do everything for people, when you get over-involved and you begin to do too much for people, when you begin to control the outcome because of your beliefs about yourself, that if someone fails, that you will fail. If that becomes your belief, then you will tend to be codependent, do way too much for people to fulfill your feelings of disappointment. But when you start to have solid beliefs, when you let go of your disempowering beliefs, and you have a belief that's a sense of certainty about committing and deciding, you begin to anchor your beliefs. When you anchor your beliefs, it's like having a tabletop that has only two legs. It will be wobbly, but when you put the third and fourth leg on it, it becomes solid. When you begin to anchor your beliefs in who I am, what I'm becoming, what I've learned, what I'm capable of, what I have the ability to attract, when you have clearly defined short-term goals, when you have a 90-day game plan, when you absolutely have a daily method of operation that you operate over and over and do the same thing over and over, you start to develop your skills and habits, it will change your belief. But when your mouth says, I'm not sure and I don't know, and a large percent of society says that, a large percent of my coaching clients, early in my coaching, will say that, I don't know, I'm not sure. When I ask people how they got the way they got, a lot of them will go, I don't know. If you did know, how did you get there? You do know. I tell my clients, you do know. You're the only one that knows because you were there. But if you live in denial, that keeps you in a disempowering belief, and that denial you stay in keeps you not only from succeeding, but it keeps you from being responsible. If you have anxiety about responsibility, if you're not sure if you can pull it off, if you're not sure if you can handle it all, and you live in an unorganized, overwhelmed state, then that gives you the opportunity to live in a disempowering belief of uncertainty. And if you come from being overwhelmed and you come from being unorganized, that becomes your excuse never to master the moving parts of success. Success requires many moving parts. And for you to ever become skilled, you must be systematic. You must be methodical. You must stop rebelling against your own success. A lot of people try and wing it to success. They live overwhelmed. They stay overwhelmed. They are unorganized. They live unorganized. They do things at the last minute. How many of you do that? How many of you are last-minute wingers? And then your body creates a sensation in its body, you create a steroid called adrenaline, and you become addicted to that last-minute adrenaline that so much of society operates from. Now, if you really know that that's not going to empower you to the next level of success, the next level of love, the next level of joy or bliss, then obviously it's time to let it go. So many people in society will ask me this, how do I let go? Well, letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. But the way that holding on will typically show up, it'll show up in your disorganization. It will also show up in your body. If you stuff your feelings with food or alcohol or sugar, there's a high probability that will create a safety net or a safety wall in your body. If you've been violated, traumatized, victimized, beaten, or abused, oftentimes, it's easy to create a belief that if I don't look good, people won't hurt me. That becomes a very limiting belief. Oftentimes, people will put on an extra 20, 30, 40 pounds, and they'll create a story around the effect that if I put on this extra pounds, if I don't look good, then people won't hurt me. Now, the hurts that you suffered in the past were real. And I commend you for having enough courage to step to the plate and say, hey, this no longer serves me. I am going to do not only something about this, but I'm going to change my belief about the situation. Events that happened, happened. And they did happen. You can't change the event, but you can look at the event differently. Because of this event, I now am. But if you say, because of this event, this is what I've become, well, then that's what you'll continue to do. But everyone has been through a series of events. We've been abandoned, neglected, traumatized, victimized, rejected, and all of the other situations that go with that. Every single person on this call has experienced some kind of anxiety, anger, hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. But if your anxiety becomes your identity, then you'll do the same thing over and over to create a biochemical feeling, and you'll end up staying in a very low serotonin level, a very high cortisol level, so you can be and stay in fight or flight. And that's typically what happens when you live in an unorganized world. Being unorganized keeps you and fight or flight. You can't find anything. You feel behind. You do things at the last minute. You live in chaos and drama. You constantly tell yourself, I don't know where to start. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. And what a lot of people do in their also belief is they over-obligate themselves. A large percent of society over-obligates themselves because they believe by doing a lot, they're accomplishing a lot, not necessarily. When you over-obligate yourself, you typically put yourself in fight or flight. You're operating in an unorganized, overwhelmed state, thinking by doing a lot for others, you're going to get recognition. But typically, you never really get good at what you're doing. You do a lot, but you do it very ineffectively, and you never become skilled at anything. And that's what a lot of people do. And that's why a lot of people have the shiny object syndrome. They move from shiny object to shiny object. It may be mates, it may be people, it may be businesses, may be cities, may be countries, but they move around a lot in shiny object syndrome, avoiding ever learning the skills, habits, and mindset required to develop a belief. A belief that says, I am good enough, I am capable, I am enough. And when you have that kind of belief, once again, then you can write from a sense of certainty. You can write a post. You can let go of the post. You're not concerned about it being perfect. You can step in front of a camera and create a video without having to do take one, take 10, take 39, take 79, exhausting yourself, doing 39 takes to do a two-minute video. A two-minute video should be this, a two-minute video. And if you know someone that can edit it, they can edit it. But even if you have a mistake, there are a few people who will point out your mistake, but there are also people who point out the value of your content. I've had people walk up to me and say, yeah, I read your book, but did you know that you misspelled the word on page 39? And my standard response, it's amazing when people say this. My standard response is, thank you very much for pointing that out to me. Did you receive any value from the book other than finding a mistake? A large percent of society are flaw finders. They want to find the flaw so they can diminish other people who have a belief. And typically when someone wants to point out your flaws, it's because they have a lot of flaws of their own. They live in their own judgment, and they're going to judge you into their judgment. And when you feel compelled to have to explain yourself, now you're in a position that you're validating, justifying, and explaining yourself. When you learn to let go of that belief that you got conditioned to behave by a passive-aggressive personality, now you will be this: I am me, I am free. And when you can say, I am me, I am free, it means you're free of your past. It should become free of your anxiety, you're free of your worry, and you can live in the present. What's the benefit of worrying? None, but I have to worry about this. I've even heard people say this. They say, the only thing I have to worry about is success. And I will say, well, why would you want to worry about success? Why don't you create it one day at a time over a long career? Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Worry becomes a big component in a lot of people's vocabulary. When you're in worry, you're in an overwhelmed, disempowering belief. And your belief is that there's not enough time, I'm not going to get to it, I'm overwhelmed, there's never going to be enough, how am I ever going to get around to it? When you come from that kind of anxiety in a disempowered state, you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of disempowerment. When you begin to change the environment that you operate in, when you begin to change the culture that you operate in, I'm talking about the culture of your brain, the culture of your own home. When you start to create a much more relaxed environment to produce in, a much more relaxed environment to relax in, when you start to let go and throw things away and start to simplify your life, when you start to live in a very simple, systematic, methodical state, your whole life will begin to change. But if you live in a lot of clutter, overwhelmed, it's going to be very difficult for you to ever create any peace, any flow. When you start to learn some simple skills and you start to master your emotional state, then you can learn the skills of any chosen vocation. But when you continue to stay in an addicted emotional state, once again, you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill those feelings. So how do you do it? You do it one day at a time. Skills and habits. Whatever vocation you have chosen, every vocation has a set of skills and habits conducive to learning. If you're in a business that requires sales and marketing and branding skills, fortunately for you, all of those are relatively easy to master in a relatively short period of time. I'm talking 90 days, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, provided you practice some simple discipline one day at a time and you have dedicated blocks of time. But if you try and fit it in around your busy life, if you try and fit your dreams in around your overwhelmed state, if you try and squeeze it in between your disorganization and your disbelief, if you try and squeeze it in between your overwhelmed emotional state, there's a high probability you will never get around in it. Your dreams have to take precedent. This is why it's important that someday you let go of your employer that no longer serves you. You stop trading time for dollars, but you don't understand my situation. See, that's a belief that a lot of people have. A lot of people will tell me how miserable their life is or how miserable their job is, and I'll say, well, change it or quit, and then they'll immediately go into a reflex saying, well, you don't understand my situation. See, that's their belief. They start sharing their disbeliefs about what they can't do, and then they start to justify and validate. And if you're on this call tonight and you're open enough to really be candid, objective, and let go of your emotionally addicted state and realize that you are an addicted validator and justifier based on growing up with a passive-aggressive or an aggressive person in your circle of influence, and you're really ready to let go of all the talking, being the man, being the woman, have to being the caretaker and the provider, if you're willing to let go of that, your whole belief system would change. If you would become a silent producer, if you would just shut up and produce, if you just learn the skills and habits, if you'd say, see you later, chief, if you'd say that to your ego, if you'd really just take a good look at yourself, go, wow, I am so tired of being tired. I am so tired of being exhausted. I'm exhausted with being exhausted. If you can say, I'm so done with this, I'm letting go of this, if you can really say that and really mean it one day at a time, if you stop asking yourself how to let go, that's one of the biggest disempowering beliefs that you'll tell yourself. A large percent of society believes that they don't know how to let go, and they want someone to give them a blueprint. They want someone to come over and unchain the lock that they feel they're holding on to. The chained lock that you're holding on to is mythical. It's not even physical. When you learn to let go of your own control, because that's typically what it is, when you let go of the control, your control typically are the thoughts you think that keep you from failing. And those, that's typically what you control. You spend more time controlling your control about how you're not going to fail than letting go of control and learning the skills to succeed. And when you let go of the outcome, then you have no control of the outcome, and then you're not concerned with the outcome. Because when you become very skilled in your belief, and that's a skill, when you start to develop a belief about yourself that you're good enough, that is a skill. When you start to come from that, you'll start to vibrate a whole different level of energy. You'll start to attract a whole different type of person. When you start to develop a sense of certainty, you'll start to have some swag. You'll start to have confidence. But most importantly, you will have self-esteem. But you must also be competent. The competence is going to come from the repetition and the experience. You have to have enough self-esteem and believe in yourself enough that you'll master the skills. But if you continue to use words like, I don't know, I don't know why I do this, I don't know if I can do this, I hope I can master this before I run out of money. When you come from that situation, and I assisted the great Alexis Romano once upon a time to understand that entrepreneurs always create more money. You have to outproduce your problems. But when you live in lack and uncertainty and a poverty consciousness and broke thoughts, that becomes a belief that's been handed down to you through the 20,000 meals with the wrong financial planner. That sense of certainty has also been handed down to you societally. When you listen to all the gloom and doom that's going to happen, the market that's going to collapse, what's going to happen, martial law and this and that, and you prepare yourself for the Armageddon because you're so concerned with the future outcome that you're paralyzed in the present. No matter what happens in the future, it hasn't happened. No matter what happened in the past, it's history. But where you are right now is the present. And the more you operate in the present, that also doesn't mean you don't goal set. Because it's required that you have clearly defined short-term goals. It's also required that you start to create a new story about yourself. If you have a lot of events from your past that have created your uncertainty or your disempowering beliefs, that can be your reality. But as you begin to change that reality, because it did happen, as you become objective about what happened and give less power to what happened, and you put more energy into what you are creating, the more energy you put into reinventing yourself, then the past becomes diminished. When you begin to separate your feelings from the event really happened. That's a fact. But if you let go of owning the event and owning the feelings, your energy changes. But if you continue to say, you don't understand, my situation is this. This always happens to me. I can't trust anyone. I can't do that. I'm not sure of that. That becomes the language that you use is a byproduct of the events that become your disempowering beliefs. And when you learn to let go of those, now you can create a new sense of certainty. Now you can create a new identity. And any addict that's ever gone through any type of recovery understands this one day at a time. Step 4 in any recovery program addresses amends. Being able to make amends to people that either have hurt you or you have hurt, and being able to let go of that and being able to forgive yourself. Once you practice the art of forgiveness one day at a time, and forgiveness becomes a habit, because it is a habit and a skill. You don't just forgive and forget. It doesn't work like that. Because if you've been violated, if you've been abandoned, if you've been neglected, if you grew up with a passive-aggressive person in your circle of influence, and it keeps recreating itself over and over to fuel your disappointment, well, you'd have to take a good look at it objectively, put the brakes on and say, whoa, enough's enough. I'm done with this. I'm going to take a good look at cause and effect, and I'm going to change what I attract. Yeah, but how do I do that? Well, first of all, if you want to change what you attract, you have to change your words about yourself. You can't attract what you seek with words that are disempowering. I'm not sure. If you were sure, you have to come from certainty. Certainty, and you have to change this factor. This is a big component of why people never succeed. These are disempowering words that a lot of people use. I haven't, so I can't. Now, if you continue to use, I haven't succeeded, so I can't attract them. I watch so many people have challenges selling the dream because of their belief. Well, I haven't made any money, so I can't. But selling the dream has nothing to do with the money you've created. Selling the dream has everything to do with the questions you ask. It's not about what you've done. It's about the questions you ask. It's about what the other person feels about their probability or their possibility or their ability to definitely change their life. And that's why it's important that you learn to ask the questions in the sequence that lead to the outcome you seek. But if you continue to use, well, if your belief is, if your disempowering belief is, I haven't, so I can't. I haven't attracted a producer, so I can't. I haven't produced, so I can't attract a producer. I understand that philosophy. It does not serve you, but you could definitely write sales copy conducive to attracting a producer, provided you believe that they would show up. But if you put it out there in a disbelief or a disempowering belief to fulfill your disappointment, then you get to be right. Now, when you learn to let go of being right so you can be rich, it's just a metaphor. Being rich has many, many connotations. But when you let go of being right, this always happens to me, that means you're right. When you let go of disappointment, that means you're right. It means you're going to get disappointed over and over. When you let go of some of your family's beliefs, take a look at some of your family's beliefs. Those things never work. I can't believe you're doing that. Here's something I learned. I don't share my successes with people who don't believe in me. I learned this. Why would you share any successes with people who are going to violate you emotionally? You don't. But that's what a lot of people do. They have a little bit of success, and they run back to their mommy and daddy or their family or their circle of influence or their homies or the people they graduated with. Hey, 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 look at me. I've succeeded. Now I'm good enough. Now I'm lovable. And the people are looking at you going, are you kidding? You're still a loser. You got lucky. That's typically what happens when you run back to share your successes with people who don't share your success philosophies. I learned a long time ago, do not share my success with people who aren't going to embrace it. But when you try and win people over by being successful, it's a victory you never get. You get to stay disappointed. You have to be able to attract other people that can become your new family. And if you have a family that's not really in alignment with you, you have to let that go. Some people have great families, and their families join them in business ventures. Other people have business ventures that are in conflict with their families. It's not a black and white situation. But you always have the ability to create a new family. You always have the ability to create a new database. You always have the ability to attract a whole new culture. And you want to have a culture of belief. And you can't attract a culture of belief when you're in your own disbelief. When you come from I'm not sure, I'm not good enough, I don't know, once again, you'll continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your feelings of disappointment. Now, when you get real clear that you've spent a lot of your lifetime doing that, you've spent a lot of your lifetime trading time for dollars, when you realize you spent a lot of your time in disbelief, when you spent a lot of your time in relationships that don't serve you, and you can rededicate yourself, you can recommit, you can reconnect, you can start to change the way you've been changing, when you come from that space, then you'll begin to let go of people that you have to validate, justify, and explain. You'll begin to let go of people that criticize you. You'll begin to let go of people who put you in a position that you have to explain yourself. You'll let go of people who will go out of their way to create conflict with you. When you have that kind of awareness, when you have that kind of belief in yourself, you won't attract those situations over and over. And you'll encounter people say, but what's going to happen when this happens? And you'll learn to say, that doesn't happen to me, because that becomes your belief. Well, but that happens to me. Of course it does, because that's what you believe. And then you learn to get out of those conversations quickly. You can't really explain that at a seminar or an event, because a lot of people go, wow, you sound like you don't really like people. And you go, no, I love people, but what I really learned to do is not surround myself with people who aren't going to love me. I learned to not encounter people and engage people who are going to continue to put me in a position that I have to validate and justify my existence. And when people will say to you, yeah, so why should I do that? And you go, well, you probably shouldn't. With that kind of attitude, with that, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. When you can be able to say that in a diplomatic forum and step out of that situation, then you have a whole different level of belief. But if you have to stay in that conversation explain, validate, justify, tell benefits and features. And if you have to convince people, you'll be convincing them the rest of your career until they convince themselves to quit or you beg them to leave. When you learn to have that kind of belief about yourself, then what you attract changes. You attract a whole different type of person to your reality because of the person you have become and the person you are becoming. That means your attractor factor changes. When that change begins to show itself, the tone of your voice raises. You come from power, not meek or weakness. And that kind of power comes from a place in your gut called belief. The longest nerve in your body is the vagus nerve. It starts from the cortex of the brain, goes down your neck, down your back, wraps around your hip, comes up and connects to your stomach. Hence the term gut feeling. When you can come from that kind of intuition, from that kind of certainty, from that kind of belief, from that kind of decision, when you come from, I will not be denied. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what I will go through. I don't care the price I pay. When you come from the white and the buckle, the gold and the knuckle, you'll win that next go around. When you'll sell off everything you own just to pay to play the game, then you will not be denied. But when you're not really willing to lay it all out there, when you want to put your foot in the water, your toe in the water, when you want to put about an hour a day into your enterprise, when you want to dabble and have a hobby, when you want to just check it out, when you want to hang out, when you keep coming from that kind of disbelief, it means you're not really willing to put it all out on the line. It means you're not willing to burn your ship in the harbor. It means you're not really willing to get off that island by whatever means necessary. See, when you're willing to pay the price, you come from a whole different level of belief. When you live in that solution and don't focus on your debt, your problems, your liabilities, when you focus on the results and the solution, you come from a whole different level of belief. That means you're grounded. You are certain. You have a belief rather than a disbelief or a disempowering belief. When you have that kind of belief, people want to join you. That's when your inbox fills up because they can tell by your writing style, your speaking style, and your communication style that you're not coming from arrogance, you're not coming from posture, you're coming from belief. You know that you know, and you know that you have the ability to attract other people what they know and you know. And you stop saying, I don't know, because until you do know, you'll continue to do what you don't know. And that's what so many people do. They say, I don't know. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I'm unorganized. I don't know why I procrastinate. I don't know why I drank a gallon of vodka last night. I don't know why I ate the cheesecake. I don't know why I ate the bag of chips. I don't know why I stayed in the casino and blew everything I own trying to win the big one. When you stop big deal chasing, when you stop being a neurotic perfectionist, when you stop being a rebellious rebeller, when you stop being a big hat, no cattle person, and you start to really believe in yourself, and you start to shut up and produce, and you realize that your recognition is going to come from your production, then you don't have to get on a call and tell people how cool and smooth you are. You don't have to be the issue. You'll attract people to your reality because of your production, not because of your talk. And your talk is never going to get you to the land of promise. Your production will. When you can really do that, when you can just shut up and produce, you'll end up on the stages of life because producers get recognized. Producers get rewarded. People who hide out in the corner and don't want to be seen and people who have to boast about their success, they typically never get the rewards that they really want. Now, you can be a silent producer and you will get the rewards because what will happen is people will see it. The truth shall be revealed. People will see that in you. They'll see your belief. When you don't have to be the issue, when you can let other people step to the plate and you can be that silent producer, oftentimes you're the person who's going to win the rewards for the most production. And that kind of belief is attractive. What is unattractive is people who talk in circles. What is unattractive is people who live in doubt. What is unattractive is people who have to be the issue and they do a lot of talking. What's very unattractive are people who are negative and their mindset is negative and their communication style is very negative. That is very unattractive. And people telegraph their beliefs every single day through their communication style. You can tell someone who believes in themselves just by the way they come across, in their demeanor, in the way they communicate, in the way that they can hug someone, in the way they have a calm, cool, quiet about themselves. They do not have to be the issue. That's the kind of person who is very, very attractive. That's the kind of person that you unequivocally require in your enterprise. You require someone who's a self-starter, self-inspired, self-motivated, someone who can operate on their terms and their time frame. You require someone who's self-disciplined. You require someone who's organized, methodical, systematic. You require someone who's image and health conscious, someone who can absolutely get it done. Someone who lives by routines and structures, someone who absolutely has an exercise routine, someone who can mentor people, someone who can absolutely lead people. You require people like this. You don't require people of drama, chaos. They talk a lot. They never learn sales skills. You require people who have great writing skills, people who have the ability to enunciate, communicate, and articulate their feelings into words that are empowering. You require people who understand neuro-linguistic programming. You require people who've been to enough seminars and events that they're spiritual and emotional, and they understand how to GID get it done. When you can attract that kind of person, that becomes a game changer. You can only attract that kind of person from a belief and a sense of certainty, says that I am certain I can do that. I am certain that I can be that. But when you continue to say, I haven't, so I can't, I haven't, so I'm not. When you come from that state, you'll have challenges attracting anyone above your own emotional energy. You'll attract people below your emotional energy to fulfill your feelings of codependence, dominance, and control. And when you can let go of that kind of control and you're not controlling your control and you're living in the present, when you're living in the now, you will start to attract a whole different type of people with a sense of certainty. When you attract people with a sense of certainty, they have a belief that says, I will not be denied. These are the kind of people who are very silent producers. They get it done. They produce with very little fanfare. They're not concerned with recognition. They're concerned with results. It's very easy to see people who are recognition conscious versus people who are rewards conscious. Someone who's rewards conscious will typically produce and then get the reward. They're not looking for the big fat hat on the back. When someone's very results-oriented, they get the rewards. But when someone has to have all the recognition, then they have a very low self-esteem and very high confidence. I'll explain that. There's a certain type of personality that has high self-confidence. And they talk a lot, specifically about themselves. They typically look good and feel very bad. And then they attract the same type of people over and over to fulfill their feelings of disappointment. And then they look around and wonder why they don't have any producers in their organizations. Because they are the issue. When you can let go of that, or you can attract people who do not have to be that, you don't want people to have high self-confidence. You want people to have high self-esteem. That means they're very comfortable with who they are. They're very comfortable with who they're becoming. That's the kind of person that you require and desire in your team. You want people who do not cause drama, chaos, and conflict. I see them every time that I do a Breakthrough to Success. I marvel at how people cannot follow instructions, how a large percent of society is so unorganized they can't follow the details of the plan. Then they get very upset when everything isn't perfect for them. You'll find this as you start to build a leveraged business, you'll find out a lot about the American, Canadian, and world populace, about how unorganized and how much drama a large percent of society has. It will be a great lesson for you, because for you to ever be wealthy, for you to ever be successful and have assets, you'll have to master the moving parts of success. And the only way you can do that is by being detailed, systematic, methodical, and organized. You cannot do that in an unorganized, overwhelmed state. If you think on tonight's call, I'm giving you a hint and some insight about organization I am. You will not succeed in an overwhelmed, unorganized state, disempowered with the disbelief that, oh my God, I don't know where to start. I feel so overwhelmed. When you continue to state those statements about yourself, you continue to reinforce your feelings of disempowerment. Most people don't even know that. Their words lead to their disempowerment. And the words lead to the limiting beliefs because they keep saying the same thing over and over, completely unaware of the words they use in their communication style, not even understanding that words don't return void and words are their law. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you are on this call tonight, this call is officially recorded and will be available for playback on Wednesday, June 11th at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That is 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for playback. This call will be available next Tuesday night on June 17th, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. With that, I want to thank you very much for being on tonight's call. Tonight's call is officially a call. I want to thank you, and I will see you next Tuesday. Don't forget, next Saturday, that would be June 21st, 9 to 4, I'll be at the Fort Lauderdale Hilton Hotel at the beach from 9 until 4. Thank you very much, everyone, and have a great evening.